Hey everybody, thanks for listening to The Real Expat Wives of Arabia, and welcome back to a new episode with a very new guest. And I am so excited because I've been a part of this Expat Women in Arabia Facebook group for quite some time now, and there's a lot of ladies in there that are not even in the Eastern Province. They're up in Riyadh and some in Jeddah, and then there's quite a few that are rolling in into this group that are actually up in the very new beginning stages of the new NEOM project, which is super exciting. But drumroll please for my next guest. Her name is Cheryl Blanca Martinez, and it doesn't sound as it is. So she is my first Filipina. I'm so excited to have her on. One of the things I notice here in Saudi is that, first of all, there's many cultures. But one of the cultures that really stands out is the Filipino culture. There's a ton of Filipinos out here, and my husband and I have been very blessed to be exposed to more of their culture through bowling. My husband is in the bowling league, and the Filipinos rule the bowling league here where we're at. So, and other than that, they're just a joyful people, and we adore them, and we can't wait to go to the Philippines one day and explore the islands. And we get a little bit into that in our discussion with, in my discussion with Miss Cheryl. So many things that she has provided insight to and shown, shed a little bit of light on her perspective. We touch on so many great subjects in this show. You guys won't want to miss it. I really hope you enjoy. Thanks for coming in and listening to our podcast. So Cheryl with an S. So your handle name is Cheryl with a C. So I was like confused. But yeah, it's SH, right?
Yes. With S.
Okay, cool. Well, nice to meet you, Cheryl.
Nice to meet you. How are you?
Yeah, thank you for doing this. I'm great. I'm having a great day. How's your day going?
Oh, just the usual. I went to the gym, walk a little. Clean the house.
Sounds like a Saudi Arabian life. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
So Cheryl, where are you from? Like, what's your origin story? Where are you from?
Okay, so I'm from Philippines, and I had
Kumusta ka? I can hear your accent.
Yeah. Mabuti. From Philippines. I've been here from like 2014 for 8 years already, so pretty much a long time to be here. So I work as a nurse before for eight years. That's why I came here. Then last year, me and my husband, we decided that I go for like a rest for a while because to do something else. To rest, because like the pandemic, the 2020 pandemic, it was really a hard toll on us, especially for those who were working in the healthcare system. It was difficult for us to go on a vacation, very hectic staffing schedule. And I think I've got that like burnt out feeling.
Yeah.
So I decided to take a rest for a while.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So where in the Philippines are you from? Like what part?
Okay, I'm from the central part of the Philippines, Visayas Island. It's actually the island where, I don't know if you know about it, the Boracay Island, the white.
So it's on Boracay?
We are like 3 hours drive from Boracay itself.
Okay.
So I live in that island because it's like a compact place. So yeah.
Very cool. And that's where you grew up, like as a kid?
Yes. Wow. I grew up there. I went for my elementary, high school, and eventually my college years were Yes.
Yeah. So how'd you meet your husband?
So I met my husband here in Saudi Arabia.
Is he Filipino?
No. He's Spanish, and he's working in the Riyadh Metro project. So I met he was here almost the same time as me, 2014, because that's the time that he said they were like commissioned to do one of the lines for the Riyadh Metro project. But anyway, we met 2018.
Okay.
So we met 2018 via chatting, you know. It's just the way to meet people. I mean, with the
So,
that.
yeah, so you guys
Yeah.
are kind of like, you're kind of still newlyweds. I mean, it's
Yes.
still
We met.
under 5 years. That's great. That's awesome.
Yeah. So we met 2018 here. We started to date. Not the usual date in an open country, but date inside the compound like that.
Right.
Yes. But
Yeah. So you guys are now together on a compound because you were living somewhere before
yeah,
and then.
when I was still working, I was living in the accommodation provided by the hospital. But
Okay.
when we got married, so I started to live with him legally.
Right.
So we are living here in the north. I don't know actually if which part of Riyadh is this, but yeah, because it's already like in the edge of Riyadh and Diriyah. So
Okay.
we are near in the diplomatic quarters actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then as the nurse, what hospital were you at?
So I was working in one of the private hospital. It's the
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Suleiman Al Habib Hospital. They've got a lot of branches actually. So
Okay.
I spent my 8 years working there in two different departments because I started in an OPD clinic specializing in cardiology. Then after some times I requested that I would be transferred into like a special area.
Right.
Yeah, so 8 years in that hospital.
So I'm an RN and I came over here with my husband in 2014 as well, and you
Okay.
know he works for the biggest oil companies, and I just have had the hardest time trying to find a way to use my RN license here. So we're in a really remote part of Saudi. We're in like the we're in Ras Tanura. It's like 40 minutes from Dammam, but we're in like a really really remote area. It's just been really tough because you have to like register with like the Ministry of Health, and then it's like a big process to get your work visa. But like, because I'm a dependent, like I came in as a dependent, right? I just gave up because it's like if I got a position, I couldn't probably do it full time, and they probably couldn't give me the time off that I need because I'm either traveling with my husband or I'm like back in the US. And then when I'm back in the US, I pick up shifts. Sometimes I'll pick up some work while I'm there, so that helps keep my skills, a little sharpened. But yeah, it's been interesting. It's been very, very interesting. The work situation here is difficult for a lot of women that come over that aren't brought over here as a worker. When they come when we come over here as wives, it's really tough. I don't know. It's just like a challenge for sure.
It was tough, but anyway, we managed to come out of it alive.
Right. So are
Yeah.
you guys gonna, I mean, are you planning on having any kids, or does he already have kids? Do you know?
Oh, yeah. One of the reasons why I take a rest from work because we are planning to have at least we want to start a family to have kids like that. So we are really working hard on that right now because
That's great.
he's 34. There it's always a for him it's not really a pressure because for him he will always say no we are still young don't pressure for yourself
Right.
blah 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 but for me I'm telling him excuse me our
Right.
ovaries is like expiration for men
Yes.
doesn't have
It's
complete
true.
expiration it cannot be like until we're like let's say 45 we're still able to do so well some could get pregnant but it's really hard because it's already like very high risk so.
Yeah, you're considered a geriatric pregnancy at that point.
Yeah.
That's what they call it. Even if you're like in your late 30s, they consider you like a geriatric pregnancy. It's so
Yes.
funny.
Yes. And this man, they don't really realize it.
Yeah, well, I wish you the best of luck in that. That's kind of
Hopefully.
exciting. Yeah.
Yeah, hopefully. We want to raise some little versions of us. Maybe
So,
here, maybe somewhere else. We don't know, but for now, we
and
are still staying here.
what's his home country?
Spain.
Okay.
So,
Beautiful. Have you been there?
yeah, a lot of times already we've been there. And it's funny because our first plan is like to get married in the Philippines. We went home 2020 to like tell my father that we're going to get married, blah, 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 blah. Then suddenly at March 13, the hospital was calling me and his company was calling him also to go back to Saudi Arabia because they were close the border because there's the coronavirus. So
wow.
We're like, okay, we have to get the last flight going to this to Saudi Arabia because we don't know when they're going to open.
Holy cow.
It's stuck up in the Philippines. So we got that last flight going back here. And for the last 8 months, we were here, stuck.
Wow.
So in the end, we just got married in the embassy.
Aww.
Because,
damn.
Yeah, because he was saying like, We don't know what's going to happen.
You don't want to wait. Yeah, you don't want to wait.
Let's just get married.
Right.
It's still legal.
Sure.
So, okay. I told him, okay, fine. We really don't know when would those things would end up. So, we might.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's really neat how, like, the Spanish culture, and I know there's a lot of Spanish influence on the Philippines, right? Because there was some, like, invasion.
Yes, point, yes.
Right? So, like, there's a lot of, like, similarities between, like, I have a little bit of Cuban in me, right? So, like, the Hispanic culture and the Filipino culture are very, very similar.
Almost like, similar, yeah.
Mm-hmm, the just, like, family is important, you know, yeah. Family get-togethers are important, lots of food.
The food, especially the drinks, the fiesta, and
the parties, the music, the dancing. And then the one thing for me with like Filipino culture is they are like, y'all are just a very joyful people. Like, you guys are very,
yeah,
just have joy. Like, you're filled with a joy and
positive with things like, okay, there's that, or the house is burning or whatever. But yeah, but you would still see them like smiling, like, okay. It's like, okay, things happen. Let's move on. Let's pick up like things and start again like that.
So, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's a ton of Filipinos too on this, in this company that work. And then there's, and they've been here like a very, very long time, very, very well established, yeah. Very well, you know, financially, taken care of, and they they have, you know, the opportunities that their children are at, you know, because of that, which is beautiful to see. It's just so awesome. But I also think about,
I really look Filipino, I really look Asian, and the one serving it would be like also Filipinos, and
sure, yeah.
So it's like sometimes it's how should I say it? I need to be a little bit more like hesitant sometimes because I don't feel like I don't feel good like asking first for people to do things for me, especially if like for Filipino. Like, for example, what I mean is for the house cleaning. There are Filipinos who do house cleaning here and you pay them.
Sure.
Yeah. So if they come to do the house cleaning, sometimes I feel like I need to help them, even though I don't have to, because I don't want them to feel that I am like above them.
And right.
And I don't want them to let them feel that they are like in another like category or in another level. So I
want. Sure. Yeah. It's definitely a sensitive subject. Because
yes, actually, yes.
The whole, like the Saudi, and I don't want to speak down on the Saudi culture, but there is a sense of
superiority among.
Yes, and I see. You know, it's definitely not on our compound or anything, but when I'm out and about, like in the malls or at the airports or somewhere, you know, and I see and I hear the stories, right? I've never really witnessed but there is sometimes a mistreatment in attitude toward not only Filipinos, but like the Bangladeshians, sometimes even in Indian culture too. I'm just observing it, right? So I'm just kind of like, oh, wow, that's interesting. And then I look at like, oh, well, slavery was abolished like, what, 50 years ago? Not even that long ago.
Yeah, not
so. But it's just interesting sometimes, you know, that whole dynamic. But then there's also the Saudi men that really take to Filipino women, that they take them as wives too. Yeah, so you're like, oh, there's that whole dynamic, right?
Yeah. So actually, I observed that I noticed that most of these, let's say, locals here, Saudis, who like treat their nannies or their house workers good, are those people who are most likely educated outside the country.
Okay.
Yeah, but you because sometimes in the hospital you can identify them, people who were like not really educated,
Okay.
they came from the deep desert. They tend to be the one who not really bad, treat the people bad, but it's like they are the one who has this feeling of superiority, like, hey,
Yeah.
I pay you, I give you salary, you do this,
Right.
I can just like snap a finger and you know what to do, or I just will have to shout, or I don't have to address your name just by like a single snap.
Wild.
But that
Wild.
Yeah, but most of those like professionals, I think they treat their housekeepers, their nannies well. Because for
Right.
example, in my experience, we have this I have before a colleague, a Saudi doctor. Their helper was like 15 years already with them. And they
Oh.
were like really trying to make that Filipina nanny like a family member.
But yeah, they do become like family. Yeah, for sure.
They consider her like a family member.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's nice to know sometimes that this kind of people exist.
Very interesting. So what else, what other travels have you guys done? I mean, I know the pandemic probably kept you guys in Saudi for a long time. Thankfully, you guys were married though, so that was cool.
Yeah, that was, I don't know, during the pandemic that we were locked down here, it's really hard to move still because there is a local lockdown. So when they initially lifted the local lockdown, we did, just locally we went to the coastal area of the Mam, we go to the edge of the world.
World,
yeah
yeah.
yeah we meet our friends in the compounds, they do barbecues, they do,
Nice.
yeah, there's always something to do actually if you meet the right kind of people and if you meet the right kind of friends.
Yeah.
You won't have like you say a weekend that is like you have nothing to do.
Okay.
It's like
Okay.
sometimes I'm telling my husband.
Yeah, Riyadh's great. So we've been here almost the same amount of time. We came in 2014. We
Just
had
different,
Did
no?
we had not seen Riyadh at all. My husband had zero desire to see any part of Saudi.
Ah, okay.
So finally we went, so we got to witness the whole like they do the stuff for like the Christmas time.
Yeah, the park, the Riyadh Park, Riyadh
I
Boulevard.
think the boulevard is what, yeah, we did the boulevard and we were very impressed. We were blown away at how much stuff
Yeah.
there was to do in there. We were like, holy
Yeah.
cow, it's kind
Imagine,
of
actually,
overwhelming.
yeah, do these things not to gain profit. It's just to make their people happy.
We
So,
did feel like it was a lot of Saudis. Like we were probably one of the very few expats there. It was really cool to see like the Saudi people were, you know, they're like, wow, this is great. So it's just awesome to see. It was really cool to witness.
I don't know if you heard about the like the Middle Beast. It's like a music festival that they do
The Middle
every
Beast. Oh,
year.
that sounds so fun.
And actually, we always do every December. So we go for holidays in Spain, but we always make it sure that we still spend some little time here just to do the Middle Beast. Yeah,
That's great.
it's like a three nights festival, music festival. It's fun. It's fun
My
actually.
God, that's
It's
so
like you will
cool.
feel that you are not in Saudi. 2 weeks ago, Blackpink was here, so we watch. Then the Imagine Dragons was here, we watch. Then last Saturday, we watched the finals of the Formula E, and John Legend and French Montana was there, so we watch again.
No way. Wow, the US are so lucky. Like, there's nothing like that here. So, what a lot of people do here is they drive to Bahrain, which is
Yeah,
like
we
a
do that sometimes.
2-hour drive. Yeah, man, Riyadh's got so much going on. You guys are so blessed, so blessed. Pretty. Have you been to Jeddah at all?
Jeddah, no.
No,
No,
me
no, no, no.
neither.
But during like summer, they organize, my husband and his friends, they would organize like a trip to Bahrain just
Okay.
to do the stuffs that they don't do here. But
Oh,
now it's just like a myth because now all the compounds are like more or less open and they do the things that you cannot do before and
yeah.
you stupid.
Right. There's all, yeah, there's always a way. There's a will, there's a way. Soon changing those.
Yeah. And actually, it's changing very rapid because when I came here 2014, it was a whole different experience. I still have to wear abaya. I still have to wear tarha. I cannot go on Uber or taxi alone. I need to have a friend with me going to the mall. And there was even an instance where we went to the mall with my friend. My tarha fell off. And my hair was like showing. And this religious police, they called them Mutawa. He was like shouting at me like in Arabic that I couldn't understand. But the thing is, he was so angry and that he saw my hair and it's like I have to cover it.
Wow.
Yeah. It's like people are staring and like, well, actually, at first, I didn't understand what he mean. And then people were like telling me like, you have to cover your hair. You have to cover your hair. They're the religious police. So.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, I've heard the stories. It's just, it's never happened to me personally. Yeah. And I would always, it's weird, right? Because I would hear about the religious police in Riyadh and how they would, yeah, like they'd really crack down on certain things because maybe I don't know. It to me it sounds opposite. Like I would think stuff like that would happen more in like a remote type place like this.
Yeah.
Where we are versus like because Riyadh is very progressive and like that. If anything happens cool, it happens in Riyadh. So I found it interesting that religious police had so much
like
there and freedom there to do that kind of stuff because I would think that's where a lot of expats would be.
Very seldom you can see someone in abaya.
I know, it's so neat to see. It's been awesome. I actually, when we were at the boulevard thing there in Riyadh, there was obviously she was an expat. I do not believe she was a local Saudi, but she had short sleeve shirt on. And I was like, go ahead, girl. And like nobody was even paying attention. It was not like people weren't surrounding her, staring at nothing. Like it was, I mean, it's funny because I come from South Florida. So like for us, walking around in a bathing suit is not a big deal at all. Like people walk around in their bathing suits all the time. So yeah, seeing skin and lots of it, I just grew up with that. Like it was always just normal for us. It was never an issue if someone has their body showing.
Yeah. So, and also I guess it's because most of the young population of Saudi are actually already educated outside. So I think it's also like a help for them to cope up with the changes.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of connection to guilt, you know, when it comes to religion and like the do's and the don'ts.
Yeah.
And the guilt that can come with that. I mean, even Catholics have that, right? Or Christians too. I mean, it's like, it's like for them to be okay with it, like, oh, and not judge or feel guilty about it. Like, it's like a whole thing. Like you have to like, they have to probably mentally work through a lot of stuff in their head. to be like on the other side of it being like, it's okay. Like it's not a big, you know, so I'm sure people could argue back and forth on verses in the Quran and this and that. But at the end of the day, it's an interesting thing. Cause it is like a cultural thing that's intertwined with religion. At the same time, it's also an individual journey.
You can practice the religion that you believe in without really restricting yourself to enjoy life.
Well, the next big thing I think would for them to allow churches openly and publicly, like that would be a huge step if they were like, oh yes, this is an actual church building. Like
if they do that, I think it would be the biggest and major
that would development you're right
in any Arab country.
There
you would see physically that they what you call this one that they allow religion to mix, like physically, because you will see a church, you will see a mosque.
Yep. Even when we were in, oh goodness, where were we? I think it was, we went to Bali, but we went to Lombok, which is the next island over from Bali. And so most of Indonesia is Muslim. They're predominantly Muslim.
Yeah.
And then, but not Bali. And that's why like everyone goes to Bali, but whatever. But when we were in Lombok, there were Sri Lanka too, same thing. huge mix. Like there's churches, there's mosques, there's Hindu temples, you know, all within close vicinity of each other.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So it's just
the things, religious things can coexist harmoniously. So it's
Yeah, that would be huge. You're so right. That would be like, holy cow.
Yeah, but maybe that one would take time because Saudi Arabia is the center of the Muslim faith in Mecca. So maybe that would, maybe they will take really consideration to if.
But I hear you. But if we were to equivocate, for instance, for do you, and I have to look this up, but like, for instance, what's the pinnacle of Christianity? It would either be location wise, geographic wise. So for pinnacle for Christians would either probably be Israel itself.
Yeah.
Or Rome, right? Maybe Rome or England, right? Because it's like the big places. Yes. And so the thing though is in England,
there's a mix.
There's still mosques allowed to be built right? So in Israel, I mean, it's like they're all like half and half. Everyone's half and half or, you know, whatever. So why, you know, I understand that standpoint that like they are the holy place or holy ground of Islam. But why does that make you still not allow other, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, religion to like coexist.
Yeah, it's just like, it's to me, not double standard, or like how you say, not double standard, but like they want to be a certain way, but other people can't do, like if they, you know what I'm saying? Like,
maybe because also they don't want,
I don't know,
they want to portray with the other Muslims in the different
parts. It's like it won't make them less holy of an Islam center if they allow a church, I guess. It's you're right, it's gonna be a big hump to overcome, but we thought it would be a big hump to overcome with what else has happened already. So honestly, I think the Crown Prince, he is like so legendary and kind of so revolutionary. I think if he made the call, you know what I'm saying, like it would just happen. Like he would just have to make the call, and like the country would have to get over it. He probably would have to hide underground for like a year because people would probably want to kill him. I'm sure he's used to that already.
Like, for example, when he did abolish the Mutawa police, it was a huge him to do it. But eventually people like forget about it, that moves on.
Yeah. Well, they don't revolt. I mean, the Saudi Arabian people will never revolt. They will never go against and create a coup, anything like that. Like, they're very subservient people.
Yeah.
Like, if the, you know what I'm saying? Like, if the monarchy says something, right? Like, okay, we're going to shut down the country. Okay, who's going to protest that? There's no protest going on. Like,
no, they can't bite the hands that feeds them gold, diamond.
No, absolutely. That's how it works.
That's how it works.
Yeah.
Like, okay, see, it's like a Roman, what the Roman emperors do before. It's like, okay, I will make the people happy so that
they won't revolt.
Okay, I'll make some circus. I'll make this and that. Keep people entertained so we'll stay in power.
That's right. Yeah.
So for now, it's, as far as she is concerned, it's still effective here.
Yeah, they're very, very subdued. They're very taken care of, and just kind of go with the flow. I mean, like, remember, like, for instance, even during the COVID times, like, the restrictions lifted, but it was like the Saudi nationals still couldn't leave. The expats could come and go, but the Saudi people had to stay put. That was crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. Because imagine if they get COVID somewhere, it's like the government has the responsibility to like take them from wherever they are to bring them home. So
that's wild. But anyways, my first Filipina. So be proud, loud and proud. my husband and I love the Filipino people. We can't wait to go. Like, we're dying to get to the islands over there.
We're going home this April. in the Philippines to
Yay!
have a vacation, summer vacation over there. We're going Palawan and yeah,
Have you been before? Have you been to Palawan before? This is your
no.
first time? Oh.
Yeah, it's our first time. Once we
So
went to
jealous.
Cebu, yeah, we went to Cebu. We did canyoneering. It's like an adventure type of things where you jump falls. Yeah, 30 feet falls. You have to thread a river like that. So it was fun. We also went for swim with the whale sharks in.
Whale sharks, okay.
Yeah. So yeah.
That's awesome. So Cebu is a beautiful island, yeah?
Cebu. So this time around, we're going to Palawan because
Oh, it is the place. It is the island. Yes. So now I was researching this before because we were trying to plan a trip there. So I was looking a little bit into it. So it looks like you'd have to fly into Palawan and then drive north, correct?
Okay, so you have two different options if you want to go Palawan. And there are two places in Palawan which you
Yes.
want to go. It's either you go to Coron, it's a separate
Yes.
or if you want to go to El Nido, which is also a separate island from Coron. So the thing is, if you want, okay, let's go first to El Nido. For El Nido, you can go and fly to Puerto Princesa. It's the capital, and you will have to drive
Right.
5 hours going to El Nido proper.
Yep.
The second option is you can s go straight. There is another like domestic airport in El Nido. It's called Lio Airport.
Okay.
So you can fly there
Right in
directly
there.
and you will already be in the El Nido proper.
Okay.
So if you've got a lot of time, you can actually fly to Puerto Princesa, see Puerto Princesa, the capital itself, because it's also beautiful. Then you can
Right.
kill your time driving to El Nido. Now,
Yeah.
you have limited time. You can just go straight fly,
Into El Nido.
to the El Nido airport, which is Lio, and then you can like, it depends on where you want to stay because it's a huge like coastline, and so you have a lot of choices there.
Very cool.
Yeah. So for us, we will fly straight to El Nido.
Okay.
Took our hotel resort, not in El Nido proper, but we take it in Nakpan. So Nakpan is like 40 minutes to 1 hour drive from El Nido. So Nakpan, I choose Nakpan because it's the like less busy right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's like much more pristine. So from that Nakpan Island, we will just do like day tours going to El Nido. So,
Right. Okay. I gotcha. Yeah, because
yeah.
everything's gonna be close with boat ride there.
Yeah.
And so
Coron is another thing. If you want to go to Coron, you can just fly from Manila going to Coron. There's an airport there which is called Butswanga Airport.
Okay.
If you want to go from Coron going to El Nido, you can do it also, but using like a big tram boat. I don't know really the term. I forgot the term.
Like
It's
a ferry.
like a ferry, exactly. So it will be like around 6 hours ferry drive
Wow, okay.
from Coron to El Nido. So it would be fun. So if you
So
want
yeah, like I'm so
Coron,
honestly,
yeah.
you could
Yeah.
spend at least 10 days just with
Coron.
Palawan, Coron, El Nido.
So you can go straight to Coron, going down to El Nido, going down to Puerto Princesa. Then from Puerto Princesa, you can head back going to Manila, or if you want to go another island, like
Yeah.
I
Well,
don't know if they have.
we always hear about Boracay because I mean it's so like popular.
Boracay is the really white sand beaches,
Yeah.
good nightlife. Yeah.
Yeah.
It has a beauty on its own.
I'm
So,
dying to get there. I
yeah.
don't think I'm gonna leave though if I get there. I'm gonna wanna stay and not return. I'm just gonna stay in
And
the
actually,
Philippines.
it's a really pretty place and cheaper. As you see,
Oh my goodness, the American dollar goes very far. Oh, very far.
yes.
Oh my
It's very,
goodness.
very cheap there. I
People
mean, not.
don't get it. They just don't get it.
It's not as cheap as Bali or Thailand, but it's more beautiful than the beaches in Bali or the beaches in Thailand.
Bali has a, I mean, Indonesia has a lot of
they
trash.
Have a lot of,
I don't know if like the trash.
Yeah. You know, I've got food poisoning way back there when we went there 2017 with my friends. I was not able to enjoy it at all because in the end I landed like in the hospital vomiting for a week.
Oh when, no.
When I went home in the Philippines, my father was like, "What did you do in Bali? Why are you so thin, pale?" I was like, "Didn't do anything. I was just there in the hospital." I
so got you think it was something you ate?
I think it's
Or the water.
The water, I think.
Oh my goodness.
I think.
Oh, I'm so sorry. We had a we spent 3 whole weeks over in Bali. We did, but we went to many different places, and then, like I said, we went to Lombok, the next island over. And explored the Gili Islands, which are like the three little tiny islands in between Bali and Lombok.
So,
and then there's a, I mean, there's so much of Bali we didn't even get to see because we try to stay away from like really touristy spots and places. It's just, it get, we could have gone somewhere back in America for this, these prices. Like, so sometimes it gets a little, when it's a touristy area,
it's a, like a tourist trap. Yeah,
it gets a little disappointing. It's very disappointing sometimes. I hate that. But
yeah, that's why my husband was telling me like, okay, we go Palawan, but we have to take something like not in the El Nido proper, something like a little bit outside.
I mean, it's gorgeous. I mean, I see so many traveler bloggers that go there because that is a huge like spot with the, just the scenery is just breathtaking. It just looks like something out of a movie.
It's like cliffs, limestone cliffs.
Yeah, it looks like, you know, Avatar or something.
Yeah,
it's just so pretty.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's more likely of
same park or something.
Yeah, same like
with
some things, the landscape, but the difference is the water itself, because in Palawan you will have a different like a crystal blue water. That would make like the whole difference in the.
I'm excited for you guys. That's in April. When my husband and I were heading to Mauritius.
That's great.
In April, yeah, we're trying to. We have so many places on the list.
And actually, I'm telling him, good thing that we are like in Saudi Arabia because
here,
going to places would be very cheap.
Yep. And
another thing is, it's only in Saudi that you've got 60 days vacation.
I know, right?
So I was telling him,
so blessed.
You're like in Madrid, you get a 60 days vacation paid and free tickets anywhere. I don't think so. So we better stay here.
Well, I'm so glad you responded to my inquiry about coming on the podcast. Is there anything that you think you could share with anybody? Like, I don't know, like usually people that listen to this podcast are thinking about moving here or they've been here already, or they just kind of like a weird place to move or be for a lot of people.
Yeah, when my husband came here to move, he said that he will just actually be here for like 2 years. Then he'll be- then I thought, come on, you are already here for 8 years and even been married here. So now where's the 2 years?
See, we all plan to come for 2 years and then look what happened.
So actually, Saudi is not a bad place. Come and see.
Mm-hmm.
Living condition is not that bad as you think. It's not. Yeah, because I think with the name Saudi Muslim country, living condition is like a little bit tight, blah, 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 restriction. No.
Right.
Actually, and if, and also if, even though if you are in an open country, let's say in a Western country in Europe or anywhere, in the end, it just boils down to the fact that you enjoy things. It depends on who you go out with, how you manage your things, how you manage your time, how you like to enjoy things with what you have. So,
yeah.
Our friends who went to UK, they were here before working as a nurse, they went to UK, and now they were like, you know, I think we've got a little bit mistake of going to UK, because now they save less, they have only like vacation a year, and they have to pay their own ticket. They have to pay their own house. They have to pay their own transport. Whereas here, they were provided everything before.
So, right. Yeah. Yep. It's all about, you know, perspective.
Yeah, so I don't know.
Yeah.
And they don't have to deal with taxes here.
Right. That's a huge advantage. Money or happiness?
Happiness.
Oh, salty or sweet?
Sweet.
Do you, this is a weird question, do you shower at night or in the morning?
The morning.
Would you rather fly or have super strength?
Super strength.
Are you more of an introvert or an extrovert?
Extrovert, introvert,
A little bit of both.
both.
Do you prefer driving or flying?
For now, flying, so no.
Right? I know, because we'd be flying to far places. Fresh food or fried food? Ooh, that's tough.
Fresh food.
I appreciate you chatting with me and talking about all
It's my
things Saudi and as an expat. And
my pleasure. It's my pleasure.
yeah, I'm so glad we can keep in touch now too. And
Yeah.
I will, is it okay if I leave? I usually just do like a little bio information down at the bottom in the show notes. And I wish you the best of luck on that baby happening.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
You guys got to get busy. I have some really great information to share with you about women helping their egg quality, like egg quality. I have tons of information on people that have recommendations for like how to get your eggs really strong and like become really fertile.
Yeah.
I'll share that with you in the
Oh,
WhatsApp.
okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Have a great day, Cheryl.
Have a great day, Kim. Keep in touch. Thank you.
Bye.